So this morning, we are going to talk about gifts that you give away. Thank you for joining us this morning at West. My name is Andrea Smith. I have the privilege and honor of being the pastor here. And it really is like a privilege and an honor. And especially with this Stop the Chaos Challenge, like if you're not a part of a small group, there is a box out there for you. Or you could put it in like somebody else's box, and that would probably make them very happy. Apparently, this has become quite competitive. And you must really want the staff to cook you dinner, or you just like to win. I'm not sure which it is. I personally like to win. Scott is in a small group. I'm starting a small group with Emily Muller in January, Wine on Wednesdays. So if you don't have a small group, we'd love for you to connect with us twice a month. But I'm competitive. So yesterday, when I realized, I asked Scott, I said, have you gotten your things for your Stop the Chaos Challenge? And he's like, no, I haven't done that yet. And so I went to the store and I learned that his small group is in like third from the last place. And so I decided that I wanted his small group to win. So I got all the items that we were supposed to get, like the oatmeal and the syrup and pancake mix. And then I saw those cup of noodle soups, you know, and they come in big packages. And if you buy them in a big package, it's only like 12 cents each. And I thought, So I bought like probably hundreds of the cup of noodle soup. And then I realized I've totally just nullified the whole point of the Stop the Chaos Challenge because I want to win. It is not about what we're collecting these items for, which are our missional partners. So Leanne and I spoke briefly and we've decided to do two prizes from the staff because you don't want your pastor to lead us erroneously. And so not only will we give a prize for the biggest number of items, which I still don't think Scott's small group is going to win, but anyway, we're going to give a prize to the most value of items collected because some of the things are pricey, like pancake mix and feminine hygiene products. And like the coolest thing about the Stop the Chaos Challenge is that everything is collected goes to one of our partners. So it's not just random stuff. Like the toothbrushes will go to Uganda this summer. The feminine hygiene products will go to Uganda. The toiletry soaps will go to the homeless shelter in Winston-Salem where Scott Osterberg, our sister regional partner, we partner with them. We'll give them to those for the men and women that stay there in that shelter to use this winter. So everything that you bring in matters. So thank you for participating in that. And I needed to confess my sin of competitiveness because I do think it went a little over the top. So now I'm going to ask you three questions. Here at West, because it's dark and you like it dark, you respond by clapping. One has zero to do with the spirituality of the message. It is just a random fact that the staff and I need to know, and we know that you do not want yet one more email this week. So I want you to clap. It's about a question about decorations. So next Sunday, we're going to have two Christmas Eve services, one in the morning at 10 o'clock, and it's going to be really cool. Our kids are doing something really, really powerful, and then we'll have communion at the end of that, and we'll have a glow stick service. So our glow stick service will be next Sunday morning. Invite your friends. It's really non-threatening. And then next Sunday at 5 p.m., we will have Candlelight Christmas Eve. And that will be the way that we culminate the end of the Christmas season. 2 weeks from today, we will worship online only. That's a tradition that we have here at West, is to have digital worship. So if you are with your family out of town, we invite you to gather around the computer for 15, 20 minutes and experience worship that way. But we will not meet here in the high school. So we invite you to take note of that. But next Sunday, Christmas Eve, it's a big day. And I want to know, the staff and I want to know, how important decorations are to you in the Commons area. And we need to know that. So I want you to clap if to you, and don't be embarrassed if they're important, tell us, decorations are in the Commons area. Will you let us know? Clap. You know what? You just made the staff's entire week. If they're out there, they are clapping loudly right now because we have this looming pile of Christmas stuff. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, okay, we stress out about all this, like the staff and I do. And my gift, my spiritual gift, is not hospitality on any level. And it's probably because I'm so competitive. I know I can't win, so I just don't do it. So we like put it on our calendars that we were going to decorate, because we knew if we didn't put it on our calendars, we would never do it, because it just, this next week feels a little foreboding if you're a part of a church staff, and for you too, I'm sure. So thank you. I thought, it's not in the nature of Wes to care about things. We care about giving ourselves away, which actually leads itself into today's message really well. I have a gift up here on the stage, and by the way, on behalf of the staff, thank you for not clapping about the decorations. I have a gift up here, and I want to know one other question from you this morning. Christmas is a time of gift giving and a time of gift receiving. And so, where do you land on the spectrum with those two things? Do you enjoy more? And please don't try to be humble in this moment. I really want you to be honest. Do you care more about, or do you get really excited about getting gifts, receiving gifts? And then the other question is, do you get excited about giving gifts? And please don't be embarrassed to be excited about receiving gifts. So I want you to clap, and I want you to distinguish between the fervor of your clapping, between which one of those matters more to you, giving or receiving. So first it is, how many of you like to receive a gift? Will you clap? How many of you get excited about giving gifts? Well, that's true to the nature, again, of the church. You're very missional, so clearly you do get excited about giving gifts. But probably on some level, we all are a little excited if somebody just comes up and hands us a package. I mean, I do like to give gifts, but I also like to receive them. So if I saw this under the Smith Christmas tree, I would be so excited if it had my name on it. And now I want you to think back to when you were a child and you did get excited, or if you are a teen or a child, maybe you do get excited about getting gifts. I want you to think back to that time when on Christmas morning, or maybe your family would put presents under the tree before Christmas morning, and they'd put your names on it. And you'd go over and you'd look under the tree and you'd count the packages and try to see how many were for you. I bet all of us at some point have tried to figure out how many packages were for us under the tree. And then if you are a little more of an investigator, you pick up the package, you feel it, you shake it. Our kids were so bad about that when they were little. If we put packages for them under the tree, we finally stopped putting their names on them, and we put other people's names on them. And I would pick like a TV show, and I would name every Smith person a different character in the TV show. So like Lane would end up being, Papa Smurf, and Andrew would be Smurfette, and Scott would be Grouchy Smurf or something else like that. Not because he's grouchy. Sorry. He is a Grinch though, and he'll tell you that. But so we would name them different things so the kids would not mutilate the packages. We like to receive gifts on some level. And so this morning, as we are finishing up our message series on timeless principles, we're going back in time to look at some of the gifts that were given during the first original Christmas that was not called that at that time. And then what do those gifts mean to us today? And what are we called to do with them? It really is one of our favorite Sundays of the year if you're on the West staff, because as you saw coming in, there's all these tables lined up out there, and there are over 1,000 gifts lining those tables that are going to go to people. And I'll talk a little more about that in a little while. But there's just an excitement. There's an excitement in the air when it comes to gift giving and gift receiving. And we have that excitement and that energy and that love and that spirit right now. But in February, like on, I don't know, the 13th, do we still have that same feeling? And if we look at the timeless principles of the Christian faith and the message of Christmas, we'll see that we can hold on to the message that comes with giving and receiving gifts. Because you see, there's an ultimate gift. And we sang about it last Sunday in that musical, that gift is the actual gift of the Christ child. But I want us to think about, like, what does that mean? So this baby comes, And we talk about, you know, the extraordinary nature of the Christ child. You know, he was the Prince of Peace, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, and all those titles that were given to him by the prophet Isaiah so many thousands of years before his actual coming. You know, that night in that cave where they gathered after he had been born, I guarantee you probably Mary and Joseph did not know the power and the extraordinary nature of that gift. And that's one of the coolest things, I think, about the Christmas story. So it ends up starting out very ordinary. But now, today, thousands of years later, we get to experience it as extraordinary. And that extraordinary nature of that, what started out as seeming to be an ordinary gift to ordinary people in an ordinary place, changes the world. And if we live out that change, think about how our world can be different. If I were to open this passage, this package right now, you know, it looks nice because it's big. If you were to pick it up, you'd think, maybe not something really special in it because it isn't heavy at all. Truthfully, it's empty. The box is empty. And if I were to rip off the paper and show you the emptiness of that box, you'd think this is nothing. But actually, there's something. And that's like that gift of the Christ child. You know, it is not something tangible that we can hold on to anymore. If we had been lucky enough, you know, a couple of thousand years to be in that place at that time, we could touch that little baby. And hopefully we could experience something extraordinary in that moment, because as the people gathered, as the ordinary shepherds came and they told Mary and Joseph that this angel and multitude of angels, messengers from God, had appeared to them and said, "Oh, for unto you is born this day this amazing gift, this extraordinary gift," maybe that energy in there would have crept into our souls and changed how we lived. But we weren't there 2,000 years ago. We're here now in the comfort of our cushy seats in the auditorium. And we can ask ourselves, what do we do with that gift? I want you to take a look at the verse in Luke that actually tells about them receiving that gift. It is Luke chapter 2, 11 and 12. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." You know, those verses, they show us this extraordinary gift is for each of us. And if you go to a traditional church in the Christmas season, in the Advent season, you do this thing. It's called an Advent candle. A few years ago, we had one at West, and we were doing a Star Wars message theme, Wisdom from the Stars. And so we had Yoda and Darth Vader and Princess Leia, you know, light the Advent candle up here, because that was what West felt like. But the whole point of that Advent candle is that each week, as you get ready for Christmas, you experience one of those timeless principles of the season: love, hope, peace, and joy. And then finally on Christmas Eve, you light the Christ candle, because it culminates all that. That gift wraps up love, hope, peace, and joy all together. And I think in our lives and in this time in our country and in our world, we need those things maybe more than ever. We need love for everybody, for all people. We need peace everywhere and in our hearts and in the world. We need hope. We need hope knowing that the light that came so many thousand years ago that permeated that darkness through that period of time is the same light that lives on now. And we need the joy that carries us in and through all things. When that baby, that seemingly ordinary baby, grew up, he began doing extraordinary things. You know, he healed people. He taught with this grace and this, you know, unfathomable truth that took all the rules and the barriers away from experiencing the love and the joy that comes in God. And that seemingly ordinary baby grew into this extraordinary man. And this extraordinary man then gave a charge to all the people who were following him. He said, you know, I am the light of the world, but now you go and you be the light of the world. You don't hide it under your bed, because if you hide it under your bed, it's going to go out. But you go and you be that light. So this morning, on the Sunday before Christmas Eve, we have this awesome privilege of unwrapping that gift and doing something extraordinary with it. We get to go be the light to the world. And you do. You do it in such amazing ways. I was looking at our numbers, our financial statistics, which truly is my favorite thing to do in my whole job. And yes, thank you. That is funny, because that is not true at all. I hate financial reports, but they're necessary because we're a movement. We're an organization. And Josh creates a graphic so you can know you've asked to see, so how's our budget? And, you know, we don't like to talk about those things, but they are necessary. So Josh created a graph with our chicken. We have a rubber chicken. He's like our motto. He's even dressed up here with a little elf suit today. And he symbolizes that at West, all people are welcome, even rubber chickens. So I wanted to show you this morning, before we go wrap the 1,000+ gifts, I wanted to show you what you look like as a church. You know, you've got operations and worship and connections and student ministries and hospitality, and the emptiness of the chickens mean that that's how far below our goal we are. But I want you to look up at the missions. Now, do you notice something different about that chicken? The numbers stop like midway through the graphic. And there was no way to show how much you love giving yourselves away. So Josh came up with this creative idea of stretching the chicken's neck and making it go up as far as we exist to give ourselves away. Why do you do that? Why do you give to missions? Why do you bring 1,000+ gifts? Because you know. You know that that is the joy and the peace and the hope and the love that exists that Christ came and gave to us, because those four Christian principles, those four universal principles, when we live them out, that is when we are at one with God. That's when we experience a little bit of heaven here on earth. When we exist to give ourselves away. Now, that does not mean to not take care of ourselves. Jesus took care of himself, but he didn't obsess about it. All the way to the end, he existed to give himself away. Now, I know y'all are not listening to me anymore. You are still looking at the rubber chickens. So we are going to pull those down. You can go online and look those up. Because I just said something like really sort of powerful, I think, of that gift, that Jesus gift. When we live it out, when we do exist to give ourselves away after we have taken care of our own needs, when we sacrificially give, whether it's at Christmas or in March or July, when we sacrificially give, we experience that love and that hope and that joy and that peace that came so many thousand years ago. So Scott and I took some ding-dong ditch names, and I always have the best intentions. I always joke that the road to hell is paved with Andrea Smith's good intentions, because I just can't seem to get them all done. And so we took several names, and Leanne would kindly send a gentle reminder, you know, hey, if you could bring your ding-dong ditch gifts to church on Sunday, that'd be awesome. Or you can drop them off at the office, whatever works for you. We need them by, you know, last Sunday. So last Sunday came, I was more obsessed with being Mrs. Santa, so there were no gifts from the Smith family. And then the next day, still no gifts from the Smith family. On Tuesday, still no gifts from the Smith family. So, you know, she texted me, hey, could you bring your ding-dong ditch gifts? We're going to inventory them all tomorrow. I'm like, am I the only one in the church that has not brought the ding-dong ditch gifts? And she said, well, There's like two more, but yeah, other than that, yeah, you are. And I thought, and I'm the pastor, so there, that's bad. So on Wednesday, I went shopping right before she had to inventory all the gifts. And I went to this one store where you could like buy literally everything. It's a little piece of heaven on earth, Marshall's at Birkdale. And so I went in that store, I had our names, and at first I was like grumpy because I really needed to be doing other things. But as I began to check off the list, and they wanted, you know, just a few things like Christian historical books. I'm like, wow, why would you want that? I mean, you know, like, come on, laugh with me today. My goodness, I think I've either bored you to tears or something. But I really did. I was like, Christian historical books? I mean, I guess that's really good. But I just found it interesting that that was the only thing they asked for on their Christmas list. Your pastor's list is a little different than that. Thank you for laughing at that. And then another person, they just wanted some socks and some underwear. And they put their sizes of other things, but all they asked for were socks and underwear. And so as I went through the store and I picked up some things for them, you know, like the Grinch, my heart grew 5 sizes. So by the time I was at the checkout, I mean, I was like having this moment of joy. And the other stuff didn't matter, the other stuff that I hadn't finished or whatever. My heart was full. And I thought, huh, so this is what it means to give when there's nothing in it for you. We have this amazing opportunity and an honor and a privilege to do that, not just in December, but all year long. To give a little bit of ourselves away. I want to show you a video of what happens in people's lives when we do that in an ongoing way. Take a look.
All the students at Franklin Elementary start every day with a pledge.
Indivisible.
But the Justice for All part belongs to 5 fifth grade boys.
Why pick on someone who has special needs?
Yeah.
They're talking about James Wilmot. Who learns a little differently than most of the other fifth graders.
Coins.
They're like using them.
Which, it turns out.
And taking advantage of them.
Can get a guy teased.
Coin.
Because he's easier to pick on, and it's just not right.
Which is why Gus, Tyler, Landon, Jake, and Jack decided this year to have James's back.
It really kind of makes you proud to be their teacher.
Mallory Hauck says the school's anti-bullying lessons must have struck a chord.
Landon!
But this has gone beyond even her expectations.
Thank you.
James's mom's, too.
He used to not want to go out for recess or anything. It would be like a struggle.
Hike.
And now he can barely eat his lunch to get outside to play with those guys.
Play and learn.
He has a notebook with over 600 teams of college.
Gustavus Adolphus.
That's how much he likes sports.
Nebraska.
They learned, too, that James was adopted from an orphanage in Columbia, and that 6 years later, he lost his new father in a bicycle accident.
And we just got a basketball hoop last week because he now loves basketball. I mean, they're changing him.
And they're still not done.
We're like, do you have any sports games? He's like, and he was like, no, I don't have any video game systems. So that's when I came up with the idea.
With some of their own money and some from their parents, the boys recently delivered to James video games and a new PlayStation.
Every one of them was smiling like crazy.
The first time friends had ever come to play with James.
I'll never forget it. Never.
Jack,
what?
You tie my shoe.
Yep.
Indivisible.
He's an awesome kid to hang out with.
You're too fast! MVP! Boom! Touchdown! Woo! All of these guys are the best friends anybody could ask for.
No Franklin fifth grade friends have ever pledged allegiance like the James gang.
It's my
12th touchdown. I love you guys.
We live in a culture and a time where bullying is real, and it's something that's now addressed in our schools and by our educators. And I believe that, like Ding Dong Ditch, that we're getting ready to culminate by going and wrapping those presents in just a few minutes, I believe that that's a way that you, the church, can be anti-bullying. Because every kid, when they go back from Christmas break, likes to say or show what they got new. They want to tell their friends, hey, look what I got for Christmas. And I want you guys to know that, like, there were 166 people that needed some Christmas cheer this year. That's a lot. And that's in addition to the other things. But one of the other churches and Mooresville Christian Mission and stuff, one of the things that I think is powerful about Ding Dong Ditch is it's not a toxic charity where you go dump out some stuff for people. Somebody that is a part of West knows every single person that those gifts are for because you nominated them. They didn't come from, you know, an organization. You nominated them. And they don't necessarily have to be impoverished. They could just need some Christmas cheer. One family, they were displaced by the hurricanes, and they've moved up to North Carolina now. Another's father just got back from a tour of duty, and they just needed a little extra at Christmas. Others are battling illness. Others have experienced the loss of loved ones. The list goes on, and it's humbling to read. About as humbling as sitting across the table from Leanne, our missions catalyst, and hearing that we had 166 names. And knowing what our worship attendance is, I mean, you know, we average about 275, but a lot, 40 of those are online. And so when we originally planned for Ding Dong Ditch, she's like, how many do you want us to try to do? And I said, well, you know, how many did we do last year? And she told me, and it was like 130. I said, well, let's go up a little. And a little jumped before either of us could do anything because you submitted the names. And she said, Andrea, I'm just going to have faith. Now, this week, she called it stressed faith, and I thought that was a powerful term. Because, like, on Monday, when the delinquent pastor still hadn't turned in her gifts, we still had, like, 6 or 7 families, not people, families, or tags, sorry, that needed to be taken. And she said, Andrea, I don't know what to do. And she said, we don't have it in the budget to do that. Like, we budgeted a certain amount, and that's going to be more. That would be like $1,000 probably. And I said, well, you know, let me see the name of West people that sponsored, and maybe I can, you know, see somebody and I can think of somebody that asked, because if you're like me, you forget to take a name. There were so many on the list, I couldn't, that was a bad idea to even try to discern. And so I just prayed, like, God, I know what our finances are. I know these people need Christmas. I don't know what to do. And then people made donations of money and more tags were taken. So in just a minute, 166 people, over 1,100 gifts, I believe, are going to be wrapped because of you. So here's my ask. And there is one today. I believe in the mission and the vision of this church more than anything. It is the coolest thing to be your pastor. And I want us to experience the power and the joy and the hope and the peace and the love that comes by receiving that gift of generosity and then giving it away. I want us to receive that not just in December, when we go buy our Ding Dong Ditch gifts. I want us to feel it in February. and in July and October. So here's my ask. I want to challenge us to do something every month for the year of 2018 that is financially generous. Not gifts, not toiletries, not food for the food packing. But when I was standing in Marshall's and looking at my buggy, and then I looked at the list of needs and the names and the numbers of the Ding Dong Ditch, I had this epiphany. I was like, what could we do as a body of Christ? And what could we do in this community if we all join together, not just in December, but like in February? What could we accomplish? And I asked leadership, and they're like, well, just be transparent. Just ask. You've always said you value my transparency. So I am asking. And I really want us to respond, Scott and myself included. Would you commit every month next year to being a part of the movement of West financially? You got two tags when you walked in. I don't want to know your name. I don't want to know anything personal about it. But there is something to be said for commitment. And we got the greatest gift ever. And it's a gift that lives in our hearts. Are we willing to live that gift out by being a part of a movement, a body of Christ? And if we are, will you commit to doing so? So what my ask is that you ponder for just a moment. Like Mary pondered all those things and kept them in her heart. I want you to ponder for just a minute as Gary sings Joseph's Lullaby. And ask your spouse or whoever you're here with. And just if you're willing to commit to the mission and the vision of West for 2018, jot it down on your Christmas tag, both of them. Take one and put it somewhere that you'll remember. Like for me, it's my keys because it's the one thing I never lose. And, I do lose them actually, but I find them eventually. So yeah. Was that you, Lane? Okay. I do lose my keys, but I find them. Put it somewhere where you'll remember. I want us a year from now to be able to look back and say, wow. Look at 2018. God has used us to be the light of Christ in the world in real and powerful ways. Will you join me? Will you commit? And then after you leave today, I just want you to throw it in the offering baskets back there. No name. Just put it back there. Be a part of this movement because I believe God is calling us to do and be great things. Let us pray. Gracious God, we each have a gift tag, and then that's our opportunity to say yes to you or to commit to something. God, you work in each of our hearts, and you are the greatest gift of all. So we just ask that you continue to reveal yourself to us as we go into the Christmas day, the high holy day. May we see you at work in our lives. And God, these 166 people that over the next 24 hours or Christmas Day will receive some extra special cheer this Christmas. We just ask that you pour out your blessings on them. You know their needs, you know their situations, and may as they unwrap these gifts, may they feel the love of a group of people that are part of a bizarre, unique movement. But a group of people that are willing to exist to give themselves away. May these gifts be for that and those people in Christ's name. Amen. Now for the best part of the Christmas season, you get to go be the light of Christ by wrapping presents. Even if you don't like to wrap presents, I promise this will be the most fun time you have had. Take your tag, and I, of course, didn't tell you anything to write on it. I realized that as I was in the hall with the worship team. They're like, we're not really sure what we're supposed to do with the tag. So that is classic Andrea. You either write yes on it, or if you want to put an amount that you're going to commit to God to be a part of the movement, that would be amazing, and nobody would, you know, scorn that at all. But the bottom line is the gift, it's so much more than just right now. It's like ongoing. And I think God is calling us to continue to do some really powerful things in this local community. You've served over 5,000 meals this year with the food truck, and we're going to celebrate all that stuff on Christmas Eve. But you are a powerful body of Christ. We need to continue to be the light of Christ in that world. And if we each do a little more, if everybody in this room and worshiping online, if we each do a little more, the things that we can do will be amazing. May we go and be that light of Christ in the world. Now go wrap presents and have a Merry Christmas.